ocurrir. Morning. Morning, members. I can see today the opposition is not here. I hope they are still coming. If they are not, they'll find us done. Welcome the chairperson of the South African Post Office and your crew, the CEO, and also the other board members who are here, and the executive, and everyone from Post Office. Also, our friends from the State Law Advisors, who have been with them from last year. I told them that they are still going to be here for some time. They thought it was a dream, and they are still here, still today, on the same matters which we're dealing with. TOC, I'm sure led by Nome, you are also welcome. PMG, I know they are always here. When we need records, we get it from PMG. So keep up the good work for the records. Do it in more details anyway. So that as you're producing the record, so that we are able to get a transcript for the proceedings of the meeting. We are going to start, but we are going to start first with the issue of the South African Post Office bill. So that we run through that part, then we are done, and then we go to the presentation by the Post Office. I'm sure you received communication that we gave you an hour for the presentation. Then we'll go for questions and the other things. So your hour is for your presentation, everything you want to present. But it will depend whether we're in a good mood to add some few minutes. Depending on your presentation, what you are presenting. So if your presentation is appetizing, we might be lucky that we add some few minutes, but if it's not, your hour when it's up will cut you. On the issue of the South African Post Office deal, we're almost at the advanced stage to finalize the deal until the ANC requested to review certain clauses or issues on the deal. So I would like to start with it because I want that immediate when we finish that, maybe from the side of the State Law Advisors and the Department, they are able to go and do some work because we might need it to come back to us Tuesday, either before ICASA or after ICASA, for some engagement. If we are not finishing that in Tuesday, it means our next meeting Friday, we should be finalizing the deal. So that will be the time we'll have to work upon today, Tuesday, and Friday. If we are not finishing it in Friday, it means it will be something for May, June. Because when we come back from constituents on the 8th, it's budget vote. We are focusing on the strategic plan and the budget votes and so on. It might be difficult to put it in there. So it might be something for the third quarter or later in the year. But I will quickly hand it over to the ANC to highlight the areas and see how do we take those matters forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me greet everyone in the house in the name of the Lord. Just one comment, Chairperson. I noticed that in SAPO, if you are there and you are not red-locked, you can't make it. But that's a good thing to remain African. Colleagues, if we go to page 5 of the bill, and go to 5B, the A, as the ANC are proposing that, the Memorandum of Association of the Post Office must entirely provide that the Post Office shall not have the power to perform the following acts without the approval of the Minister. We have removed that the granted with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, because we felt like there's no need for that at this stage. Then if we move also to 5C, shall not issue any shares except as approved by the Minister. Again, we remove the concurrence with the Minister of Finance, because we believe that the DOC Minister's competence. Then we then move to page 8. Sorry. 8 on clause 3.
I can see the federal advisor is hardly paging. I doubt whether. Are you following? Oh, okay.
Is he following, sir? On page 8, clause 3, reads as follows. The payment of financial support is subject to the appropriation made by Parliament and must be for such purposes and periods and subject to such conditions as the Minister may determine. We removed with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance again. So we just included that it's subject to the appropriation made by Parliament. 4A. The Post Office and its subsidiaries may not borrow money without the prior written approval of the Minister. Again, we remove the concurrence with the Minister of Finance. For AB, any decision to borrow money taken without such approval is of no force and effect. Oh, that one is still there. We're not changing. Page 10, clause 12.1. On appointment of non-executive members of the board, the ANC submits, for the purposes of appointing the non-executive members of the board, the minister must, by notice in at least 2 newspapers and in the Gazette, invite interested persons, and in writing, or and whatever, that is, the, you have the original bill with you. And then on clause B, 12B, in writing, invite trade unions recognized by the Post Office to submit within the period and in the manner mentioned in the notice the names of persons to fit to be appointed as members of the board. 12.2A, the minister will remove must. The minister may appoint a nomination committee to make recommendations to the minister for the appointment of the non-executive members of the board contemplated in subsection 1A. Again, 12.3, we removed in establishing and put, if a nomination committee is established, the minister must ensure that the committee is broadly representative of the various racial groups and geographic areas of the Republic and that both males and females are represented. 12.3.B, I'm sorry, 4, the minister and, if applicable, the nomination committee will remove the comma that was there in making a recommendation to the minister, must consider da-da-da, what's written there. On page 11, clause 5, we remove the committee and replace it with the minister, must ensure that we removed again persons nominated and put non-executive members of the board. And the rest follows. On 7.A, the minister must appoint 2 non-executive members of the board from suitable persons nominated by trade unions contemplated in subsection 1B. The other non-executive members of the board from suitable persons as contemplated in subsection 4. The minister must, within 30 days after appointing the members, by notice in the Gazette, publish the names of the members so appointed and the date of commencement of their term of office. Move to page 16. Clause 7. Page 16. Sorry. Clause 18. on the conditions of appointment of Chief Executive Officer, CFO, and the COO. 18.5, the Chief Executive Officer, Chief Financial Officer, and Chief Operating Officer are entitled to a remuneration package determined by the board with the concurrence of the minister. We removed the concurrence with the Minister of Finance. Move to page 18. The ANC submits again in clause 22. We remove 22.1A. We remove the board must determine the staff establishment necessary to enable the post office to perform its functions. And put the board must determine the structure or organogram of the post office and the conditions of service, remuneration and service benefits of the personnel of the post office after consultation with the chief executive officer and with the concurrence of the minister. We move to page 19. If there's anything that one does not understand, feel free to interrupt. Page 19, clause 3. 2.A, the ANC submits the post office must, before it establishes a subsidiary or revives a domain subsidiary, submit a feasibility study and business plan of the proposed subsidiary to the minister for consideration. 3B, reads as follows, the minister may, subject to section 51(1)(g) of the Public Finance Management Act, after consideration of the feasibility study and business plan, approve the establishment of the subsidiary or revival of the domain subsidiary as the case may be. We then move to page 42, clause 4.7. I hope everybody has the document in front. Clause 4.7 reads as follows. Clause 8 empowers the minister. We removed with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance again. And reads as follows, clause 8 empowers the minister to annually grant financial support to the post office in respect of normal expenditure from money appropriated by Parliament. 4, we removed that and put that purpose. It further provides for the post office to seek approval from the minister. We removed and the Minister of Finance before it can borrow money. Move to page 43, 4.21. Clause 22 empowers the board to determine the staff. We remove the staff and put personnel. And then you jump to the second paragraph. The clause seeks to provide that the conditions of service, remuneration, and service benefits of personnel of the post office must be determined by the board after consultation with the chief executive officer and with the concurrence of the minister. Clause 23 places an obligation on the post office to submit a feasibility study and business plan for approval to the minister if it wishes to establish a subsidiary or revive a dormant subsidiary. Chairperson, I hereby submit the recommendations from the ANC with regard to the South African Post Office Bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Killer. We miss you very much in the committee. What led you are here? I just want to check with the department or the state law advisor whether they've been able to follow through the clauses which seek to do the amendment. But maybe for the benefit of Honorable Member Killer, you remember at one point when we were dealing with the bill, the ANC requested to go back and relook certain clauses. So this was the feedback or the report in terms of which clauses they are looking for and what changes they seek to insert in those clauses and so on. I'm not sure whether when she started we were already in or you find her along the way. Oh, okay. Honorable Killen.
Some of the changes that were actually mentioned here have already been conducted. So the document that we have before us is not the one that the ANC presented. Am I correct? It is the one.
No, that one is not. It was just presented.
May I then just repeat further? clear where, much as I tried to capture some of the changes as we moved along, you know, I made sort of remarks about where we should remove the concurrence, etc. It would really be appreciated if we could receive a written document so that we can actually see what is the implication of this. It is, you know, if legislation is like a spider web, if you pull one string, it really affects the entire bill, and it is important for us to just also have that clarity, because some of the proposals I can certainly not support, but I just want to see the entire, you know, effect. Maybe within the broader context, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, it makes sense. Maybe, you know, just to have a real look at that, it would help a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Killer. Do you have the document which reflects the changes, a copy which can be given to Ms. Killen to go to?
Okay. I think, Chair, we will submit the document. We'll make photocopies and submit it. Thanks.
So I think what we need to do is that from the side of the trustees, if they can be able to do these things which have been highlighted, but don't remove anything in the current bill, just to say these are the changes for the ANC, so that when we deal with it Tuesday, it reflects the current and the changes in all the clauses where the changes have been proposed, so that at that time it's going to be easy to have one document which you can cross. Can do cross reference around that particular document. Is that possible to do that? If you have captured everything, is possible that by Tuesday you can have the document? I know Monday is a holiday, that's why I'm asking many times. Monday is a holiday.
Chairperson, the committee wants it, but Tuesday it will be ready.
We'll be grateful if it can be ready by Tuesday, and we are going to make it a first item to start with, so that we deal with that, then we've got our space to deal with ICA. So do we agree with that process? So we'll go back to the document next week Tuesday again. The reworked one, which reflects the ANC proposal and the current, what is the current form in the deal and so on. So with that, members, can we go to post office? Chairperson, I'll hand over everything to you unless you abuse your powers. I'll come in, but if you are not, we must call her.
Okay, thank you. My thing is always working. Thank you.
What thing are you talking about? I hear about this thing, that thing, that thing. What thing are you
talking about? What I mean is this, Honorable Chair, is the microphone at this point. And good morning, and thanks to the Chairperson and the Honorable Members. I am going to just ask the CEO to introduce the team as they're getting ready. Oh, is it on already? Okay, thanks. We're here as the team from the South African Post Office coming to present our strategy, accompanied by board member Mr. Patel over there. And I'm going to just ask the CEO, Mr. Patel, also chairs our Human Resource and Transformation Committee. Thanks. I'm going to ask the CEO to introduce her team.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I am Mufanisi Lefoka, the Group CEO. And I have Mr. John Wenzel, and as I mentioned them, they'll just raise their hands. Mr. John Wenzel, who's our group COO and also responsible for posting. We have Mr. Nick Buick, the acting group chief financial officer. Mr. Molefe Matibe, the MD of logistics, of CFG responsible for logistics. Mr. Jan Raskosi, the GE of mail business. Mr. Mdala Munisi is not here with us in terms of that he's responsible for consumer services. We then have Mr. Lungile Lose, who is responsible for our corporate affairs. I have Mr. Tix Kripu, responsible for our public affairs. Mr. Sibulunga, our group company secretary, and Advocate Mpo Mpelo, our assistant company secretary. Those are the members, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. I think I'll just give an overview, and the CEO and her team will give the bulk of the presentation. In terms of the post office, we're starting this year. Those are all the achievements of the many years, but particularly the last year, as well as some of the challenges that we have experienced and identified in terms of the previous year. And one of the areas from an achievement and excitement of last year was the celebration of the 100 years of the Post Bank. And I would like, on behalf of the South African Post Office, in terms of that, thank this house in terms of making sure that in celebrating the 100 years of the Post Bank, we also take it to the next level by making sure that we deliver the Post Bank as a full bank and preparation for that process in terms of the Post Bank Act. And we are very grateful for the support and collaboration with the Portfolio Committee, particularly in facilitating that work. We also have other highlights in terms which the CEO will refer to. Last year as well, we celebrated a very successful and hosted very successful Philately International Conference, a show, which had people coming from all over the world and put us on the map. And also through that preparation and some of the initiatives, managed to get ourselves on the Guinness Book records, and the CEO will also talk to that. The next slide deals with the government systems. Last year as well, you know, in line with the other years, we continued to be on the nomination and selection shortlisting and finalist in the area of our reporting, as far as the JSE reporting is concerned, the award, and it's an award that we've been winning for the previous years. But we've recognized that it is not enough. We need to look at the various areas and look at the new developments within the government and government space. One of those areas are basically ensuring that we review our support governance structure and make sure that we also look at new legislation and how it impacts on us. And what that focus has been was to look at the new Companies Act that is coming in from the 1st of April this year, and also compliance with the King Code 3 on good corporate governance. What we've done from our side is to ensure that at all levels, from the board activities and functions as well as the executive to the various activities of the post office, this is instituted. I must highlight that the area of governance continues, you know, to offer challenges in the organization, like all organizations. But what gives us comfort is that the structures and systems and controls that we've put in place help us in identifying whenever there are areas, you know, of concern, particularly in terms of non-compliance as well as potential fraud and corruption within the post office. So as yet, we have managed to be proactive and identify and act on areas that would have been seriously concerning in the delivery of our activities. So what we're doing at this point, which the CEO will talk to, is to align the group holding structure to some of these changes, to ensure that we implement some of, you know, ensure the controls and the systems are aligned to the governance strategies that we are having to put in place. A key part of that is the risk area, and part of that with the Postbank Act also coming in, we are having to prepare a whole lot in terms of ensuring that the process of getting the license in terms of the Bank Act is in line, and also we are not going to find ourselves not complying. So a lot of preparation and beefing up from our side has ensured that we get ready as far as that is concerned. Allow me just briefly to give you an update on the critical projects which we see are critical for our success within this year. Oh, sorry. Uling is dead. The CEO is just reminding me to cover some of the people issues. With this year, like other years, prioritize the area of people management. The post of, and because we have recognized that in our strategies in the previous years, we focused on, you know, for instance, control systems and IT platforms, as well as on people, but we recognize that it is critical that this year we focus more on people from a change management perspective. And there are a number of reasons that relate to that. Central is the whole area of the labor model for the South African Post Office. The issue of the labor model for a post office is basically partly linked to a number of the legacy of apartheid in terms of the post office constitution as far as people are concerned. You remember that we had to pull people from the various homelands and also ended up with a system from the Department of Post and Communications where we had over 30,000, around 32,000 employees coming from different places, and we've gone through a process where now we're sitting at around just over 16,000 employees. But one of the complexities of the structural arrangements was around the salary anomalies. And I'm very pleased that together the South African Post Office Board Executive and the union, we've managed to settle the issue of the salary anomalies last year. It was a big issue in terms of our budget because the initial plan was to deal with it incrementally over the years, but we recognize that it is a constraint in terms of the relations and generally, I mean, from equity within the company, and felt that let us do everything to handle that, and we're very pleased that we've settled that at this point. Another area around the labor model deals with the problematic situation as far as labor brokers are concerned. As a South African Post Office, we were also concerned in terms of what was highlighted by our staff in terms of unfair labor practices within the labor broker system. And we have had engagements through the CEO and her team with the labor brokers to specifically deal with those areas and show that internally, whilst we are awaiting the process of the Department of Labor, we are ensuring that, you know, there's improvement in terms of the practice of those who are, appointed through the labor brokers. But what we're doing now, we're working on a very focused strategy in terms of a labor model that includes flexible labor, because the South African Post Office, we recognize that flexible labor forms part of our labor model because it is impossible that we can employ everybody, permanent basis. So we will be coming to the portfolio committee to present the finalized labor flexibility model, flexible labor model, and generally, because at this point we are considering all options in terms of the bill that has come out from the Department of Labor, but also we've conducted an international perspective study which begins to assist us in terms of how other people have dealt with that. But I'm very pleased in terms of the phasing out and how we've dealt with the issue of casual versus permanent to ensure that we've got established arrangements within the post office, and the CEO will talk to that. had concerns with succession planning, and we've now come up with very clear strategies in terms of retention of staff and critical skills. It remains a problem, I will not lie, and the basic problem is around pay. We are not competitive from that perspective. And every time somebody comes and says, come up with a counter offer, it becomes very difficult for us to do that. And that is how we lose most of our valuable people. And we've raised this thing with the shareholder, we're looking at it, but we remain a parastatal and it remains a problem. We're hopeful that the review of the state entities will guide us when the results come out in terms of how we handle that overall. But we try our best where we can. But we've also improved on employee development. I was very pleased the other day, you know, we keep on having new babies within the post office from the executives. And John has just had a baby. And the other day, you know, I was summoning him to a meeting urgently. And he sends me an SMS and he says, Tristan, I'm on paternity leave. And I realize that we are a very progressive organization.
I hope it was not for convenience.
but generally, the labor relations continue, I mean, to be strengthened. We do have our moments of weaknesses and concern, but obviously, as you know, that is a space of bargaining, and we continue, and we're very pleased in terms of our main union, the Communication Workers Union, in terms of the appointment of the new leadership, and we are hopeful that we'll continue to work very closely with the union. In terms of the major project for this year, the focus on the SAPO business and operating model is a big one from two perspectives. One is the fact that what we've relied on, which has constituted over 60% of our revenue, which is the mail business, is beginning to show areas of weakness in terms of reduction of mail volume. So that pushes us to focus more on the diversification strategy. And the CEO and team will be presenting how those are moving forward. And that also requires us from time to time to look at the business and operating model and look at how best can we improve efficiencies. The second part relates to the Post Bank, which has been a division of the Post Office, being now a separate subsidiary. That introduces new issues also in terms of our balance sheet as well, from the overall strategy at this point will be presented, which deals with some of the changes that accommodate the movement of the Post Bank as a subsidiary of the Post Office. One of the issues I want to raise around here also includes some of the changes that have potential implications on our business model. And that includes the reduction in the subsidy. The reduction in the subsidy is a serious concern for us because our mandate in terms of delivery, particularly to the marginalized areas of rural areas and squatter areas and address rollout, continues to be the focus of the South African Post Office. Most of our profits, I mean, whatever we get is basically being deployed back, invested in those areas. And when we have reduction in terms of the subsidies, that is serious implications in the work we do. So at this point, though, we are very happy that even though our net profits have come down, we continue to increase in terms of the CAPEX investment in the areas that focus and ensuring that we mainstream the poorest people out there, and particularly in those rural areas. Our work focused in terms of the projects for this year, continuing with the information technology platform, the Post Office and the Post Bank at this point require a more integrated platform, and we've invested on network upgrade, and the CEO will talk to that. And another area is the within the diversification of revenue that I referred to is the digital business. with the reduction in noise volumes, we are being forced more and more to look at creative ways of ensuring that we are to speed in terms of our service and products. And digital business offers an excitement to the post office, and I'm very pleased and congratulate our teams for making sure that they've done their best to make sure that we come up with innovative ways of dealing with this, and this will be shared with you. We've continued to focus on the strengthening of the SAPO procurement process. We do now and then get gaps, which expose, but we are very lucky because the controls and systems and the people that are there continue to point to us some of the areas, and we act very swiftly from the side of the board to make sure that we do not expose ourselves. It becomes important that human behavior you cannot totally control, but if you make sure that your structures and systems are there, at least you are comforted from a monitoring and oversight perspective as far as the board is concerned. So the funding plan for the South African Post Office is going to be presented here by the CEO and the CFO. As indicated, I mean, some of the areas of subsidy are concerning to us, but we are looking at creative ways of looking at that and making sure that we do in an effective way and also continue to be viable and sustainable as an organization. Lastly, I'd like to deal with the area of synergies and consolidation. We've got a long way. I mean, some of the concerns for us have been and continue to be the area of silos and fragmentation of our business. And when we dealt with that, we recognized that, within the business model, areas of transport and areas of even IT continue to create problems of fragmentation, and also the business of logistics, which is the CFG and speed services. We've looked at different ways of how we consolidate that so that we can come up with a logistic group which can assist in the diversification of revenue in these difficult times. One of the things that we've had to do as far as that is to also look at the location, particularly of the key business areas and the headquarters of those various business units, and putting them under one roof. And it is because of that that we are in a process of moving various post office operations from the business units, from the various areas that have been operating within the Gauteng area particularly, and putting them under one roof, where we will be moving to an area within Centurion called EcoPoint, where other state-owned entities also are having their headquarters. And that for us is seen as a strategic move in terms of consolidating and increasing the level of synergies among the various businesses. And some of the executives you would notice are not here today. They are busy preparing, because from the 18th of March we will are all moving to the new building, which will be in Centurion. So all these are major initiatives. They bring excitement, but also they bring headaches, because it's not easy, and there's always tension when we're having to deal with this. I mean, the issue of a move is a big one, because people worry about leaving their homes. People worry about now the bus fare is going to be more, so you have to be involved in negotiations and engagements in terms of how best to deal with that. So it has not been an easy process, but we're trying our best to deal with some of the issues that have come out of that, and I'm hoping that we will succeed in terms of managing that. So at this point, I'd like to hand over to the CEO to deal with the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I think we'll try and make the presentation exciting so that we are forgiven in terms of time as we go through. But just to cover, to just indicate what this is going to cover, the 8 points will be covered in detail in terms of the presentation, and we will then also indicate some of the alignments we have tried to do with the state of the nation and our shareholders' objectives as we go through. Just in terms of our vision and mission, I think I'll say we could say when the board came in and we developed a strategy that has stayed, it has still been the strategy that we are presenting and continuing with it. And I think with the guidance of the board in ensuring that we continue and not keep on changing our strategy going forward, we are really proud to say we are starting to see the benefits of that. Our vision remains to be recognized among the leading providers of postal and related services in the world. Our mission will enable the nation to effectively connect with the world by distributing information goods, financial services, and government services by leveraging our broad reach and embracing change, technology, and innovation. In terms of our values, we have 5 core values as a post office: a passion for our customers and meeting their specific needs, contributing positively to our communities and environment, treating each other with respect, dignity, honesty, and integrity, recognition and reward of individual contribution, embracing diversity in the way that we conduct business. As we move on, what we strive for is to ensure that as we go through, we ensure that we keep our legislative framework, and we are guided by a legislative framework, and we ensure that all actions and activities that we get involved in are driven from this framework. The mandate of the post office comes from the legislative framework, and also our regulations and our license that details our universal service obligation. Key priorities of government, from the government program of action, the state of the nation address, the minister of communications priorities, the social mandate, which is linked to our universal service obligation, and ensuring that the strategic plan of SAPO is aligned to those government program of action by ensuring that our key programs for delivery are in fact talking to that. To just indicate the legislative framework, this is not an exhaustive list, but we are highlighting the ones that are in fact currently either under review or also going to come in and really impact on the post office as we go through. The review of our Postal Act, we've just been discussing the post office bill. The PFMA remains what we do. As with the post-bank corporatization, the Financial Services Act and their regulations are going to be issues that we have to make sure that we deal with. The chair covers the issues around the labor legislation, the emerging issues that we need to be dealing with, the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, the Companies Act and Amendments, and ARTO is one of those as a logistics company and having a lot of fleet is going to impact heavily on the organization and, in fact, employees in their ability to do work once it comes into being. The Consumer Protection Act, and all other applicable legislation. In terms of regulation, we continue the postal regulations with the ICASA and also the courier regulations, as I indicated, the financial regulations that are coming through and other codes. But on an international level, our universal postal regulations that come from our Universal Postal Union continue to impact on us, and we are in fact taking part and have positioned ourselves strategically within the UPU together with the department and the shareholder where particular bodies, we have made sure that we have representation like in the Council of Administration and also the Postal Operators Council at the Universal Postal Union. And we also continue with the Quito Convention and the World Customs Standards and Convention. Just to indicate some of the emerging legislations, as we have indicated, the Post Office Legislation and Regulations, we just want to highlight the Post Bank Act, the amendment to the Postal Service Act that I think with the department will be coming in this next financial year, but the current amendment to the Post Office Act, and with the regulator, we are currently busy with the economic regulatory framework for the South African Post Office. What the impact of that is going to be, as the chair has already indicated, the business model and the governance structure review that is going to have to change and align to the issues that we need to deal with. Other emerging legislations, as I indicated, the labor legislation amendment, the Employment Services Bill, the Consumer Protection Bill, and its impact on the labor model, products and services. And just for a moment, in terms of the Consumer Protection Act, it means now we need to review all our information in terms of products and services to ensure that we align to the Consumer Protection Act and we strengthen and make sure that our interaction with the Consumer Protection Act is just the way that you'll be able to withstand scrutiny if it comes. The information security and policies that we have already started and already approved by the board as we continue. In terms of our social mandate, as I indicated, it does come from the government program of action and State of the Nation address. We have just highlighted those, and I'm not going to go into each and every one in detail, but what I would rather like to do is to show how we as a post office have taken our program to align them with those and the department. Building a prosperous society, terms of the post office programs, the customer centricity program and shared services improvement that will come in, the service targets, which is our targets with the CASA to ensure that we meet the universal service obligation, job creation, we will share some of the issues. The chair has already spoken about the labor model. We continue to do well in terms of skills development, and we'll share some of those issues with you. Our fight against crime, I think, Chair, this is one of the successes that we have had in the current, in the past 2 years after implementing our crime and corruption strategy, and we have seen quite a lot of improvements, and our relationship and collaboration with SAPS and other justice cluster organization has really helped us to do that. We continue to be challenged in a lot of ways, but I think we are starting to see some progress in the issues that we do. In terms of health, the post office is, I would like to believe that in terms of our wellness and HIV programs, we have done exceptionally well, where we have now voluntary testing that is above 70% of employees that is done every year, and also all other programs that we continue with. The branch and address expansion, as we will indicate, and in fact some of the CSI projects that we'd like to be able to do under building a responsive, accountable, and effective local government structure. Building a better Africa and a better world, I've indicated that we have the Universal Postal Union, which is the first abbreviation we have. And within the region, within the postal region, within SADC, we have taken a leading role, and also within our Pan-African Postal Union as a post office. And we are spearheading quite a few of those programs that are going to make sure that we have. For example, our address rollouts and our address expansion is in fact now hasn't been taken by the region as a model that will be done by the region. But not only within the region, it is also has been accredited and accepted by the Universal Postal Union as a way that we can do rural addressing within the world as postal operators as we continue. So I believe that within that international arena, we are continuing to ensure that the South African name and the South African brand is increased. In terms of the universal service obligation, what we are indicating are the 3-year targets that we have to meet in terms of address rollout. This is one area that we continue to do well, and what we have done, if you look at the required numbers, we have looked at the census numbers and also the projection in terms of the houses that we have, and we have come after our demand study, 7.6 million that needs to be done, that was done last year. In terms of 2009-10, 1.67, and we have met the target in 2010-11, which is the year that we'll be reporting in, was 1.195. We will meet the target and exceed it, and we have also put the same target going forward as we continue, and we believe that is a program that we will continue to deal with. Under our retail branches, we have in two provinces managed to have the points of presence, exceeded the points of presence. We, however, have two or three provinces that are very concerning in terms of, if you look at the required number, and just to highlight those, Eastern Cape, the Free State, 693 in Gauteng, which is the biggest number that we require that we have in terms of making sure that we roll out within there, and KZN. As you see, the current numbers that we have are very low compared to what we're doing. Our major program within retail rollout will be addressing those particular provinces that we have. As I indicated, Northern Cape and Northwest, we have met the targets that we have. However, what remains is the issue of location, because as communities migrate, we need to then migrate with those communities to the new locations, and that is why we are saying it will be a rebalancing and relocation program rather than new additional outlets that we'll be looking at. Under business restructuring, which is what the impact of what the chairperson has spoken about, our current business model, as we have presented to the committee and we have had in our strategy, still remains and it is reflected as such. The chair indicated the issues of consolidation and synergies. As you see within logistics, we have our subsidiaries and all our logistics brands put in, and underneath we also have transport, which is one of the key programs that we'll be driving under consolidation for now. We had the financial services, and underneath the financial services, we have Postbank, which is the Postbank corporatization, and we'll get into the detail of that. And then we have other new businesses, ICT and that. In terms of the review, what we are proposing is that the South African group going forward will then look at the mail business, as we currently have, which is what you do, the digital business that Chair has spoken about, the digital business in terms of diversification, and we'll get into some detail about exactly what we do in them. We then have what we call non-post-bank financial services, which will then remain divisions within the post office, not subsidiaries, and the property division for now. For the subsidiaries, we know that the Act has now established as SA Post Bank Limited as a subsidiary, and we are also proposing the consolidation of logistics into one logistics company rather than the major subsidiaries that we have. We are, of course, mindful of the amendments of the Post Office Bill that we will then be taking into consideration for implementation. We then remain with what we call support basis, which is our corporate and support services, where we are introducing a shared services concept, and our retail outlets, which are going to be channeled, and we'll be talking a little bit in detail about those. For each of those businesses, the focus as we have would still remain that, but implication of the structure that we are proposing is the following, that now the e-postal will then be integrated into the digital business and taken out of the mail business, and with the mail business then remaining with those three focal points, which is postal business, postal solutions, and communication, with transport being also a support to the mail business, but being consolidated within the logistics business. Major key areas that we are focusing on the mail business continues to be operational excellence, because that still remains the main business of the post office that we have. However, what we have realized is that what we need to be doing is in fact bringing what we call lean initiatives, ensuring that it is not just effective, it is not just efficient. It is very cost effective, because the impact of the subsidy going forward will impact heavily on what the post office is, and therefore we need to be able to be looking at rationalization of some of our infrastructure, consolidation of our structures and processes, and implement continuous improvement programs to ensure service delivery to people. The second core focus area is the revenue growth within the mail business. The normal transactional mail is being impacted, as we know, by technology with emails, SMSs, and others. And what we are focusing on is, in fact, the promotion of direct mail, focus on our box rental business, and review of our rationalization of products and services and pricing of our products as we go through. Retention of customers, and these are value-added services that we'd like to be able to do. For example, when you do have a box and you do not collect your mail on time and it gets filled up, we'd be able to now send you an SMS that says, you realize that your box has been full and has not been collected. Would you like us to deliver this at your home? And we can be able to do that. And we continue to build our postal delivery database for us to go through. All these major projects are aimed at making sure that the sustainability of the mail business is ensured into the future. Those are some of the major strategic projects that are detailed in there, and the address rollout into urban areas have already indicated that we are aiming to do 3.5 million. Address management, further implementation of our track and trace, automation of our mail centers, which we have started, but I'd just like for a moment to pause and just maybe give some more information on the addressing and postcode system. As we had indicated last year, that we are developing a framework of looking at our postcode system and our addressing format and changing that to be able to accommodate the growing settlements and the growing new developments of housing, because our current postal code is what we call saturated. We cannot expand it. It's a four-digit issue, as we know. It would be 0001, so it's very limited in the issues that we have. That will essentially change the addressing format that we're putting in. We have started at looking at the technical side of the process to ensure that what we do, we can be able to test it technically, and started with what we call our major bulk mailers, our customers, in terms of looking at their technology and their system and all issues that we have. This would be a three-year program that will then culminate at a year where we will then be going on a public and engagement of people in terms of making sure that the addressing system of the country is then changed. We are continuing quite well on our ISO accreditation, because we believe this is going to enforce our quality improvements And the chairperson has already spoken about employee and management development programs, but some of those we will highlight earlier. This is the new diversification of our business, and we'd like to share with the committee some of the programs that are coming through within that. In our new digital business, we have, in fact, started now our decentralized printing solutions, where we now have a printing house in the Johannesburg, Pretoria, and we are putting the issues in Cape Town. This is what we call the hybrid mail system that we have presented before, where people can now lodge their mail electronically from Johannesburg, and only the mail that comes to Cape Town will be electronically sent to Cape Town to be printed and distributed in Cape Town. The one that remains within Johannesburg will then be printed and sent and distributed in Cape Town. Impact of that for us is that it reduces the transport cost of moving mail from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and therefore bringing efficiencies and effectiveness. And we are basically trying to go in and talk to our customers to be able to utilize that. But those who have their printing facilities can also be enabled to link into our system so that it can automatically be stored electronically and making sure that we deliver it. We have introduced some mobile-based solutions, and I'll go into that. Internet-based solutions and self-service issues that we have. Maybe just to highlight one of the others that we have indicated, the trust and identity management center that we have put up and have spoken about. We have continued with our preparation for our accreditation process, and the process is continuing very well. We have done our pre-accreditation tests, and that has been successful. Gaps are identified. We are currently on the corrective mode for us to be able to deal with the issues of the trust and accreditation process that we have. Just to share some of those, I will be assisted by the CEO on that. Just to share some of the things that we are dealing with, as you know, the e-postal online, which we use currently for our box online, it has been there, so you can renew your box online. And in fact, we introduced the world, the Philately exhibition, International Philately exhibition, two issues that the chair has indicated. We can now buy our stamps online, and we have what we call a personalized stamp. So you can take your own picture and have your own stamp made and transmitted, and you can have those pictures that you have. It was a huge success that we had at the International Philatelic Exhibition when we launched the issues that we dealt with. And those are some of the things that we are indicating that you could be able to download and buy from our center. You can buy miniatures, you can buy several issues that you deal with from that point. Another new thing that we are coming about is what we call the virtual post office, and I'd like the COO to talk to us about that.
Good morning, honourable members. The intention around the virtual post office is to take the products and services that we provide through our traditional brick and mortar outlets online and provide an additional channel for our customers to make use of our services. What you see there pretty much looks like our standard post office, and you will be able to, at this point in time, conduct a small range of transactions, and progressively we will grow that so that many of the transactions that you can do in our brick and mortar outlets you will be able to do online, and that would cover things such as stamps, such as payment of bills and so forth. Chair, I think that's enough of an overview that I don't want to give.
Thank you, John. Basically what we are saying is that we are now implementing what we call our multi-channel strategy, that you can get the services of the post office everywhere and any way you want to be able to do that, go through with that. So those are some of the issues that we have. It would indicate the specialized counters that if you want to go and do buy stamps, you can buy other things that we have. And it will help us in establishing what we call an e-commerce platform going forward for the post office. If I then move on to one of the things that we have also introduced, which is our mobile services, is our postal code information. If you now want to know what your postal code is, you just SMS 31133 and you get your postal code back, and it then gives you the issues that you need to be able to do that. This is making it easy for people to be able to go through. Further developments would be the locator of the branch if you want to be able to do that, and that will also be linked to our GAPS candidates as we go forward for the issues that we need to deal with. That is on the digital business that we're talking about. If I then move over to the logistics business, it continues the logistics business to be the business that we intend to build, focusing on three areas, courier, freight, and full-party logistics, and anchored by the transport issue. those are the current brands and services that we have of the logistics business, and we are positioning each and every one of those brands within the logistics business to be looking at specific target markets, to have specific service offerings, and to also make sure that it can continue and it can be packaged as well as we can, we would need to be able to do. In terms of the major programs, the DocEx integration into logistics, we've already started with the issues of free services integration, and we will then be looking at transport, branding of that, and the revenue growth. I should indicate that the CFO will indicate that, as you know, CFG and the logistics was one of our suffering businesses that we have. In this current financial year, we are really thankful for their performance because they have been able to perform in a very, very difficult environment and market in a very positive way. Financial services continues with that, and I think we would just like to, for a moment, focus on post-bank, but not in terms of services, but rather the major key milestones under the post-bank corporatization process that we do. I'd like the CEO to just highlight those issues in here in terms of the two slides that you'd like to just make sure that we are dealing with it from giving overview to the committee.
Thank you, CEO. Committee members, following the promulgation of the Post-Bank Act and in accordance with the regulations of SARB and the Banks Act, there are a number of key milestones that need to be delivered before we can submit the license application to SARB for consideration. It's our hope, if our plans work out accordingly, that before the end of this calendar year, we would like to submit the application to SARB for consideration, and then, of course, the time that they take is entirely in their hands. In terms of the major milestones for committee, just to understand why they're there and what they are, in accordance with the Act, we need to implement a required organizational governance structure for Postbank, and that covers the board and key office bearers. In accordance with the Banks Act, these individuals need to meet the fit and proper test that SARB has for office holders of a bank. We need to register the company. The Postbank Act makes provision for the transfer functions between the post office and the Postbank, such that the non-banking functions are moved out of Postbank and the banking functions that may sit in post office are moved into Postbank. The SARB would designate Postbank as a participant in the national payment system. This is a significant milestone because at this point in time, Postbank operates under the sponsorship of an existing commercial bank. We need to transfer the assets and liabilities of Postbank as per the Act into Postbank from the post office, and consequently the valuation, the terms of transfer, and we have to enable Minister to promulgate the transfer. There's also the transfer of staff under Section 197A of the Labour Relations Act, and this requires the identification of staff and the agreement of the terms of transfer from post office into Postbank. There are three significant areas of investment and work that needs to be done. The technology enablement component of the bank is significant. We have conducted a due diligence to identify the gaps between where the bank is now and where it needs to be, and clearly there are a number of areas that we need to address and we need to close those gaps. Most importantly is the segregation between SARB and Postbank for banking-specific operations and the implementation and upgrading of the banking technology. The people enablement, clearly being a bank, has certain implications on our staff in terms of them meeting the various requirements of the Banks Act, and therefore we need to undertake training and development, and we need to recruit required skill. There are a number of areas in the bank where we don't have the skill that we will need to go to the market to recruit that skill. And then there is the process. The Banks Act, as well as the Consumer Protection Act, makes clear implications in terms of the segregation of data between post office and post bank, so that the customers of post bank's data is adequately secured. Finally, the Act makes provision for a conclusion of a cooperation agreement between the shareholder post office and post bank, and that agreement will cover the transfer price and the operating model. All of these milestones need to be concluded before we can submit the final application. We intend, and with the assistance of DOC and National Treasury, to submit a mock application before the final application. And in terms of the final application, those are the key components that need to be in that application. So as honourable members will see, this is a very, very big year for us in the post office, and this is an enormous project that we're undertaking, and there are some significant milestones with very tight timelines. Thank you, CEO.
That is post-banked. I think under consumer services, I'm going to go through the other issues that we have presented. But I think under the consumer services, one of the changes that we're talking about, obviously, is around using the consumer services channel as a universal consumer service channel with a multi-channel strategy implementation being on place. We already started on the internet and cell phone, mobile internet and cell phone. We are looking at mobile agents and services, and the operating model principles are outlined in terms of those things. Basically, within the outlet types that we'll be proposing as we go forward are the ones that are on there. For example, we would have post offices. All the services, all the basic services will be available in all post offices, but we have branches where primarily the activities and the transactions are financial and post-bank transactions, and we want to be able to lay them out differently and to be able to do them in a different way that we can go through. And those are just the outlet types that we are proposing that we are working on. Just in terms of closing, we're just going through and highlighting some of the things that we have to ensure the customer centricity that we have, because we've tried to do it by business model, and that doesn't quite work. So we've put through what we call a customer focus for all, and that indicates the five businesses that we have and how we are going to sit down and look at that. Some of the work has already started in the SIEM, and those are highlighted in the arrows that are going through. I just want to go very quickly. I can see the chairperson indicating the time issues that we have. Under human capital, we just wanted to highlight some of the programs that we have, and we can talk about those. Just in terms of job creation as an issue that we have indicated, those are the numbers as we sit and focus at this point in time that we are indicating to the committee, that as we see now the progression going forward, those are the numbers that we're looking at in the respective programs and business units that we will be running. So in terms of indirect and direct employment, how we are going to be contributing to job creation. If I'm allowed then, Chairperson, I will not get into the details, but I think what we're trying to do is to indicate some of the human capital development that are quite necessary for us to implement and go for, and what numbers are we targeting for this particular year. May I just take a moment and talk about the environmental programs that we continue, that we've implemented, and we continue looking at that. We will, again, this year be awarding our second, what we call our second Climate Change Leadership Award, which is a program and award that is given an environmental community award for community-based organization that we have started together with partners last year, and we're hoping that it will grow and grow to encourage looking after our planet in ensuring that we deal with. And last year, what the committee has asked us to do is to ensure that we indicate our balanced scorecard. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm continuing. Am I going too fast? Oh, I'm getting different. Should I slow down? Okay. Okay. Should I continue? Okay. Okay. My apologies. Should I go back or is it fine? Should I continue? Okay. So I can continue as well, please, Chairperson. I'm reading your body language wrongly. I apologize. on the environmental issues, I think this is one thing that is an issue that is, for me and the organization, I think quite important. And as we go through and implement some of the things that we have, we are going through. Let me just talk about the move to our new head offices. And it's a very culture-changing environment that I think I know personally I have to deal with. One of the issues that we've asked is that we are going to move into electronics and therefore reduce paper that we utilize. And it's quite a difficulty not to have paper and having to work from there. And it's a mind-changing issue that we're dealing with. And I think as an organization and people, we are struggling with that. But we are also establishing a knowledge portal that has started within the organization. And I think as we go through, you then realize when you move how much paper you in fact collect. And when you look at it from an environmental issue, it does open up your mind on the issues that you need to deal with. On the business scorecards, we have just detailed our performance and our key performance indicators for each of those three themes that we look at, which is financial, social, and environmental, for the members. We were asked from last year to ensure that we detail that it is within the strategy plan, but we just wanted to indicate what we have done. As you've seen, under social, it will go in terms of issues of employee issues, in terms of health, labor practices, and also our customers, from the point that you need to be able to look at, and it deals with the issues that we have indicated from the major projects. In terms of, it also includes our governance, and in terms of our governance in issues of ethics, the chair earlier on also covered the issues around governance issues, but also aligning ourselves with the emerging laws that we are going to continue and do, and under transformation, not only the employment equity, but also the BBBEE in terms of our performance. And we will be focusing very strongly this year in terms of our enterprise development processes that we have now set down and identified and make sure that we will then be able to implement. Some of the initiatives that we have under corporate social initiatives, which is, for me, the most successful and probably unspoken issue around the post office, is that what we call an employee volunteerism program, where we have dedicated 2 days a year. As an employee, you take 2 days and you get 2 days from the organization where you dedicate your time to community programs that you then deal with. To date, we have had over 700 employees who have taken that and they have called into communities and really donated their money, their time in doing some of those. And some of those things are what we are trying to indicate from our employees, and I think the spirit of support is a spirit that I believe is something that is to be proud of as we go through with those issues. And for our revenue focus, because in this year our financial numbers are not looking as good as we are, we have been hit in terms of the phasing out of the economic and financial crisis, but also I think in terms of the economy in the country is down. But more importantly, how we then position ourselves as an organization to get much more business than we have. And those are the revenue focus areas that we have put in terms of where we are going to be focusing on. We have seen quite a lot of growth in some of the new products that we have implemented in terms of our traffic lines. We will then be also implementing an online payment for our traffic lines in terms of the motor vehicle licenses. And we continue to look at our properties unit. And when we came to the committee about 3 to 4 years ago, one of our biggest problems was that we, in terms of government and municipalities, we used to report that we are not going through. We changed the approach that we then looked at, and we are starting to see a lot of improvements, especially in our logistics business going forward. I just want to highlight some of the risks, because within our strategy document, and as the chair has indicated, even our audit is based on our risk audit. We have, I'm just highlighting the top 10 risks that we have as an organization, and I think it goes further than that. And each and every business unit and subsidiary would have their own risk, top risk that they would do. But as an organization as a whole, information and technology risk, changing customer needs, as we have indicated on, our relationship with organized labor, and I think the issues around the labor legislation and how we continue growing, that becomes an issue that we deal with. Crime still continues to be one of the major risks that we continue dealing with. When we came to the committee about 3 years ago, we were proud because we were probably one of the few postal operators in the world where we were seeing an increase in mail volumes. Our mail volumes then started taking a decline in the last 2 years. Therefore, reduction in mail volumes has come through and becoming one of our major risks going forward. Reputational risks continues to be an issue that we need to deal with to build the brand of SAPO to ensure that we deal with it. Business continuity management, and I think we have seen the effect of that with being hit by, as Pretoria had a power failure in the last few days, and it has been a very stressful few days in terms of the issues that we needed to do, because our data center and left center has been sitting there. Even if you have generators and you have backup, it's for a few hours that you think is possible. When it goes beyond 2 to 3 days, You then have to make sure that the Telford folks can find diesel to fill in the things that you need to do. So it is a continued issue that we have. Industry deregulation, that is a deregulation of the mail business, in fact, the postal market, in terms of that. But what we are saying about that is that even if it becomes an eventuality, what impact does it have and how do you position ourselves as a post office going forward? I think in the age of the East-based information security continues to be a risk that we have and continues through. The last risk that we are highlighting there, which is one of the biggest one, is that with the programs, and as the CEO has indicated, as the chair has indicated, is how are we going to ensure that we take all employees with and prepare the organization for the emerging programs that we have to deal with. For critical success factors, in closing, implementation of the group holding structure, implementation of an appropriate business and operating model, the customer centricity, implementation of a multi-channel strategy, and as I just explained, the addressing of people issues. But I just want to sit and talk about the information technology enablement as a critical success factor, because without our IT enablement, it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to implement anything that is going to continue. We have put programs in place. We have just finished our first phase of our network upgrade. We are now in the second phase of our network upgrade. We are also looking at our DR, our information security, and a full IT enablement that is going to go through. It is the most probably challenging environment that we have now, because the IT environment is that the mobility of people is so high that you can't keep the staff for over a year or so within that environment that you have, that you do. You find yourself having to compete with IT companies, and people cannot be able to do that. But secondly, it is such a dynamic and changing environment that if you put your business cases and go through the process, by the time you finish a new version of what you thought you would put in comes, so it requires flexibility, agility, and other issues that you need to be able to go through. But I think with the processes that the board and the ministry and the shareholder is assisting us in doing that, we will be able to overcome and be able to work with some speed in some of those issues that we need to deal with. And I think what I would like to do at this point is to ask the budgets that we have, the numbers, to speak to those strategies that we have. I'll ask the CFO to come and take the hot seat for a moment and deal with the budget presentation.
Thank you and good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll talk a little bit about how we convert the strategies and translate them into the numbers. We have a very, very challenging year ahead of us with the post-bank corporatisation, and it's very, very important that we continue on profitable trail. And I think the numbers reflect that, although not as profitable as we'd like to be, but I think a reflection of the economic environment which we're currently in. Just to look at some of the macroeconomic indicators, you can see that the country is forecasting a slow climb out of the recession, and I think that's also reflecting in our own numbers. We're showing a turnaround, but a slow but steady turnaround in terms of our profitability. PPI as well, also looking at a slow improvement from a PPI perspective. This is one of the areas that has a huge impact on us, particularly from a post-bank perspective, and you can see that interest rates have actually declined from 12.5% round down to 9% in the current environment, and that has an impact of around about 300 million on our bottom line. So you can see how sensitive the organization is to interest rate fluctuations from a post-bank perspective. And you can see that we are now forecasting that the next move in interest rates will be up. I think personally not very good news, but from a post-bank perspective, extremely good news for us, and we will expect to see the profitability from a post-bank perspective start to improve. We are at the lowest rate, interest rate environment that we've been for about 30 years, as I say, that has impacted our financial performance. GDP also turning around, and you can see that historically, you could also almost track the improvement in mail volumes with our GDP growth. They used to be married, but I think in terms of the technological changes, that relationship has been broken, and I'll show you a slide on that as we go forward. The fuel price, that's another key area, as you can imagine, given our transport costs across the country. As we're seeing, and you can see that the fuel price is now over $100 a barrel, and with a weakening rand recently, this has a big impact on our cost base. And you will notice that although the tariff increase that we've been approved by CARS is 4.2%, and then you've got transport costs rising at double digits, you can understand the impact that's having on our margins. This is the mail volumes, South African mail volumes. You can see that we have seen a decline. We had strong growth all the way up to 2008. 2009, we saw 2% decline. 2010, 8%, I think it was aggravated by the industrial action which we experienced in that year. And in 2011, another 3% decline in mail volumes. So and when you've got that business still represents 67% of our revenue. So you can see a small decrease in mail volumes has a very, very big impact on the profitability of the organization as a whole. Now, what does that mean in terms of our year-end estimates? We're forecasting moving from profitability last year, 366 million. Our 2011 forecast is just under 200 million, and that's a 47% decline. So you can see that whilst we had revenue growth for this financial year of 3%, our expenses are growing by 6%. And given, as I say, mentioned the lower interest rates and the higher cost base in terms of our staff costs, and also our transport costs with the fuel price increase, you can see that the 6% impact of costs is having on our bottom line performance. So our operating profit we're forecasting 195 million, which is a 47% decline on the year for the 2009-2010 financial year. And in terms of the efficiency, our profit margins are also declining from 6.6% to 3.4%. And net profit is down from 5.3% to 2.7%. So we're showing a continued depression in our financial performance. But I think that we have, if our estimates are correct, we have weathered the storm. We're now at the bottom, and the next move hopefully will be an improvement. This shows the profit, and you can see the declining trend over the last, particularly the last 3 years, where we've had the economic financial crisis throughout the world, and the impact that's had on the economic environment, and that also has impacted our own financial performance over the period. And you can see that decline. But I think on the positive side, it's now our seventh straight year of profitable performance, which I think is a testimony to the fact that the strategies that we have put in place from a diversification point of view are bearing fruits in terms of the profitability of the organization. The net profit trend has also shown a decline over the last 3 years, but we think that, and our forecast is, and our budget is, that the next change will be positive. Profit margins also, as I've mentioned, have been under pressure. In 2007, 2008, just before the financial crisis, we were delivering profit margins of 9.4%. Our forecast this year is 3.4%, so quite a squeeze from that perspective. This just shows our revenue. Moving into our budget now, we're budgeting a 4.6% improvement in revenue from 5.7 million to 5.9 billion rand. And you can see that we're still anticipating pressure on our mail volumes, so we're only forecasting a 3.8% increase in mail volumes. But the areas where we are looking to diversify, we're expecting strong growth. Logistics revenue up 8.2%, post-bank revenue up by 8.3%, and postal financial revenue up by 9.6%. That's the motor vehicle license, the faxes, photocopiers, prepaid, that side of the business. which, by the way, is almost the same size from a revenue perspective as Postbank. So I think overall we're showing a 4.6% increase in revenue, which is relatively conservative, but I think in the current environment is appropriate. Then we can see the revenue increases, and we're forecasting a 4.6% increase in revenue, and the forecast for this year is 2.5%. So we are forecasting an improvement in the new budget year. Mail revenue, as I say, this is the biggest piece of our revenue. We're forecasting a 3.8% increase, which effectively we've got a 4.2% tariff increase, which means that we are anticipating a further decline in mail volumes, but offset by the other businesses which we're forecasting growth in. This shows the breakdown of our mail revenue, and you can see that whilst we are in our bulk mail revenue, we're only forecasting a 3% growth. The other areas where we're forecasting strong growth is rental for boxes, post boxes, and also the e-postal revenue and the new business opportunities in that side of the business. Logistics revenue, with all the internet growth and traffic, the logistics revenue countrywide is actually growing at 3 times that of GDP. So we're expecting better than GDP performance from our logistics business. Financial services, this is the non-Postbank financial services, and we're forecasting 10% growth in that, which includes things like payment of grants, postal orders, all the non-Postbank related financial services, and we're forecasting a budget of that for a 10% growth of $520 million in the new financial year. Postbank, this is the bank, the service fees are on the Postbank accounts. We showed a very, very good growth this year of 27%. That was mainly as a result of the MTN shares, BE share scheme, which we did on behalf of MTN, and that showed a nice growth in our revenue for the current financial year. And next year, we're forecasting an 8% growth from a budget perspective. Interest, which is the other area from a Postbank point of view, we still are forecasting a very, very small decline in interest for the new budget year of 3%. Whilst we're expecting interest rates to go up, we have a number of positions and investments that are maturing in the current financial year. Obviously, they would have to be reinvested at lower interest rates. So we're still seeing an impact of that on our numbers in the new financial year. This is a very busy slide, but it just gives you some idea of the impact of changes in interest rates on the Postbank performance. For instance, if we get a 200 basis point, which is a 2% increase in interest rates in the next financial year, that will have nearly a 200 million rand positive impact from a Postbank perspective. So that just gives you some idea of the sensitivity of the company performance on interest rates. From a cost perspective, the big areas that I've mentioned is staff costs, which make up 49% of our total, so nearly 50% of our total cost base is made up of people costs. So that is, it gives you some idea. And the other areas is transport of 10% and rental, which is our property rental cost. That's the cost of maintaining our physical infrastructure across the country. That is also a large portion of our cost base. We're forecasting a budgeted increase of 4% in our total cost base, which again is slightly under inflation, but I think will be extremely difficult and tough to actually deliver on, particularly with the current rise in the fuel price and the pressure on staff costs. This shows you the impact of staff costs. As a percentage of revenue, it's nearly 50% now. So every rand we deliver in revenue, 50 cents in the rand is going to staff costs. Transport, we're forecasting a 10% increase in that, as I mentioned. That's also high. But again, at the end of the day, I think really as a result of the fuel price that's coming into effect now. And I did mention the property expenses. As we roll out, in terms of our license, more and more physical outlets, you can understand that the cost of that and maintaining the rental and all the costs, the electricity costs, etc., is going up. And I think that is probably not sustainable in the event that our subsidy shows a further reduction. From a balance sheet perspective, we have one big liability in the balance sheet, which is the liability provision for medical costs for people who have retired, our pensioners. You can see that at 1.2 billion, that's what it's actuarially valued at. And we've had to raise the provision in the books this year of some 300 million to actually make up that liability. So that is a big drain, and I know there's a big, there is a big exercise in place internally to look at ways of bringing that that cost down. If you look at the subsidy, we actually, and we're very, very grateful that we have been allocated $54 million in the 2013-2014 financial year, whereas previously that was planned to go down to zero. Whilst we are grateful, it does not subsidize all of our USO costs. You can see that our costs are running at $300 to $400 million. That's actual, that is the cost of actually delivering on our universal service obligation in terms of our license. So that gives you some idea of the costs that are being absorbed. So hopefully we can hope that we can motivate and improve subsidy going forward to subsidize those costs. Otherwise, we will need to cut back on our USO rollout. And I think the Chair did mention it, that the fact that we can still, because of our strong balance sheet and our profitable performance, we have delivered capital investments of around about $300 to $400 million. And I think that will decline if our subsidy is reduced. And you can see the impact of that. Despite the declining profitability, our actual CAPEX spend has actually increased over the last 3 years. Now, this gives you some idea of the balance sheet and the funding plan that we talked about. If we do not get further subsidy from 2013-2014, you can see that we will need to go to the market and borrow. At the moment, the company is debt-free, which I think has been very positive for the organization. We have no debt at all. But in the event that subsidy does not, it is phased out, we will have to start borrowing money. And I think that that will have its own impact in terms of interest rates on our financial performance. So otherwise, we'll have to cut back in our CAPEX spending, as I mentioned. So as a result of that, our budget for the new financial year is $228 million operating profit, which is a 17.1% improvement over our estimate for the current financial year. So, as I say, a slow but steady forecast of improving profitability. Hopefully that we have turned the corner and we'll start to see improvements now in the results of the organization. This is the post office excluding subsidiaries. So this is essentially post office and post bank, because it's still currently a division, but that will change obviously with the corporatization. So we're actually showing an improved profitability from a post office perspective. The logistics, the CEO did mention that the logistics business has performed very well this year, and we're anticipating a further 12% improvement in operating profit next year to nearly 150 million rand. This is showing the scenario post-corporatization from a post-bank perspective. It's very, very important that all of the organizations are profitable in their own right. If you know, we're spinning off the post-bank, which is a profitable piece of our business. We're integrating our speed services business into CFG. So it's very, very important that the post office, which is the residual business, which is the mail business, plus the non-post-bank financial services, remains profitable. So what it will do, it'll have that income, but it will recover its costs into post-bank, so it'll charge post-bank for the use of the retail infrastructure and the logistics. So as a result of that, and through the charge of the shared services costs into the other businesses, we hope, and it is intended, that all of the separate legal entities are profitable. And I think that is a challenge for us as we corporatize the bank, that we keep the costs down and we ensure that the post bank is profitable, post office is profitable, and logistics is profitable post-corporatization. I think that's very, very important. Last slide I'd like to leave you with is the balance sheet, and you can see that it remains very strong. We're forecasting that current assets will continue to grow at 2.5%. Total assets next year will be up by 6%, and I think we'll be breaking the 10 billion rand mark from a total assets point of view in the new financial year. So I think that's the rest is just a lot of detail. We've got all the numbers, all the five-year numbers, which are in your handouts, which I can certainly take questions on, Chair. But from a presentation point of view, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick. I think, Chair, we've concluded the presentation. I just want to highlight two things. We indicated in the last presentation when we were here that Nick, in his role as the CFO, the contract has ended. And he's now, you know, got a new role as business support executive, but he's now acting as the CFO, and we've concluded from the board side the process of searching for the CFO, and now the process is sitting
with the minister to finalize. So we have moved in terms of the position, and also beefing up quite a number of key positions in terms of the post bank and the IT side. We've done quite a lot to make sure that we have the capabilities required for the post bank corporatization. Another thing that I just want to highlight, the last meeting we shared the case that we have that we're concerned about from a constitutional perspective in terms of the service delivery of the post office, which is the case that we had with CTS from a grants perspective. Some of you would have seen the article in the City Press that the appeal court ruled in our favor, and basically we are back in the position now that as a post office we are become the delivery arm of the, I mean, for grants. So we are very happy because we were worried that was a constitutional matter that has now, the appeal court has ruled in the right way. So that concern at this point is being addressed, and we should be continuing with our business. Thank you. Over to you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson, and the presentation from the executive. But you see, I'll give members to ask questions. The issue you raised that you've got a person, Mr. Dewick, who was a CFO, got another position, and acting as a CFO. Surely you need such a person. That's what it means. From where I sit, it means that you need that person. Now the question is that I remember last time you raised the limitation of the term. It's two term, then after that you can't. There is no provision for or exemption or provision where the minister can waive and so on. Now, but the question which I want to go at is that is that arrangement beneficiary to post office or that's a broader question which I'm trying to, and I understand the limitation and so on. But if you've got a person CFO, you've got another position, still acting, it means you surely, so one way or another, you need that person once you are searching. But no, it's fine. I just wanted to understand it in a broader.
I think, I mean, in terms of the current arrangement and legislation, that is not possible. But I think in terms of the new bill that is there, I mean, there has been a clause that sort of allows the minister, if the minister wants to extend, and, you know, in terms of that. Because there are many reasons that are considered for any situation. I think this specific situation was just about the acting until we finalize the appointment. So it's a very specific situation, and I just wanted to highlight that so that there's no confusion in terms of roles.
No, thanks, Chair. Member, question time. But if it was clear as it normally does when post office presents, there is no harm to just agree and then we are off here to start our election campaign work early today.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I just have to say that it is always a privilege to come to the presentations of South African Post Office. I really believe they're preparing exceptionally well, and I really want to congratulate them again on the presentation today. Clearly, the transition, I think the challenge that they're facing in the year ahead is quite a critical one with the corporatization of a very profitable component of their business model. So it's good news to see that proactive planning is actually done to diversify the different business components of the post office, because that is where strategic leadership can make or break an organization. To do proactive planning, futuristic sort of planning, etc. So I think it's very good, because my interest was really, as far as that is concerned, to see how are you going to manage that. Just one quick question. There was a mark that I made on one of the slides, Chair, if you will just allow me. It was just this sort of the decline over the years from 2007 onwards on the profitability. And it had a specific trend. Now, we know about the economics, international as well as local, etc. We know about fuel prices, which is affecting the major component of the post office business. I just wanted to know, what are we going to do in future? You are diversifying, but do you believe that one can arrest this trend, this downward trend? And secondly, how do we do that if we're actually in a very unsettled world at present with fuel prices moving, you know, up constantly, the Arabic world in a sort of a turmoil, and on the other hand, our fixed contracts, you know, the staff component is growing. How do you intend to balance all of that out? The concern that I just have is ultimately what is a critical balance in any organization is to be able to plan to have a good balance between capital and operational expenditure. Is it not going to catch up sometime? Also with, you know, out of the ordinary salary increases that was negotiated last year, how is it going to impact this year, etc.? Just a general feeling. I know it's not concrete. It's just, are you taking all of that into consideration and your new initiatives that you are launching? Is that part of that? How do you respond to these sort of clashing trends almost? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me also congratulate the post office on the good work done, even though it's obvious when it's post office, you expect all this documents and informative information. Now, my question is to be around the issue of the reduction in mail volumes. I've seen in the presentation, yes, there are strategies, there are programs. But do you have any time frame? Maybe you have set your target that by this time we'll have done 1, 2, 3, 4, and any cost there in that regard. The second one is in regard to the 1.6 million addresses to households. Have you tried to break it in terms of the rural and urban? Because you might have achieved the 1.6 million, but it might be one-sided. I'm a rural person. I think for now, you know. So this time, I'm almost focused where there's a rural something somewhere. And lastly, Honorable Chair, really, just congratulations to Post Office. It's a message from the Baphalani Baramukoka Tribal Authority to say they really appreciate the support from the Post Office staff. They're busy building a Post Office. They have serious problems there and there, but the support they have on a weekly basis, the Post Office people are there to assist them. Including on other issues that they were not aware. Just the message from the Baphalani Tribal Office. Thank you very much. They have not had their post office for the past, ever since they were there. They've been there for more than 50 years. They'll be having a post office for the first time in their life. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Drogen.
Okay. Now, it's in regard to the finances. I just want more clarity in regard to the 1.2 million increased liabilities. More clarity can be given on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to join my colleagues in congratulating the Post Office. The virtual Post Office. I want to know,
Have you already started with the process with the virtual post office, or are you still going to do it? Maybe an elderly person receives his or her pension. Will he be able to check on that virtual post office if his pension has been paid into the bank account? And will that person then be paying bills through the virtual post office? If it's possible, what safety and security measures are put in place? Because we do get so many emails on scams, and I want to know what security protection does the consumer have in terms of the virtual post office. And then I wanted to see, when I saw the dollar sign, is it possible not to put a dollar sign? Let's put the South Africa Rand symbol there. If it's possible, maybe a picture of a 5 rand coin or something, but definitely not the dollar sign. Okay, thanks.
Oh, it's in the presentation. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure you mind, because maybe Zim Dora will do it. No. Thanks very much. There are no other questions. Maybe you can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I think since I've been in the post office, this is 1 year where my stomach is always running, because this is a major transition, and as we always say, we only have one chance, and we cannot afford to do it wrong at all. Because as a board, as the chair would always say, a lot of South Africans and what the essence of service delivery is for this country rides on this program. And we cannot afford to do it wrongly. And therefore, I think as we sit every day, this is one of the major issues. Secondly, it is, besides the IT, the people impact of the program. Let me start with internal in terms of staff, because the environment that we're getting in requires, and there are requirements and regulations are such that the upskilling has to be accelerated. And we started with that program about 18 to 2 years ago. Upskilling and getting people to that level is quite key for us to be able to do. But I also want to also indicate that this is also a program that says as we upskill people and we are still employees, we then open ourselves, because we then become a training ground for other people. And therefore, we need to compete, as the chair was indicating. We need to be able to retain our staff going forward. So it is quite a very, very important program for all of us to be able to ensure that it delivers that. I know with the board, it is one of the major program and priority that the board is ensuring that we cannot disappoint South Africa on this program. In terms of diversification of our business, yes, the decline in our business, especially our mail businesses, the CFO has indicated, and I'm sure he will talk about that a little bit, is that we a 1% decline in our mail business, a 1% decline, costs us quite a lot of money. It's about 100 million rand impact in terms of our bottom line. Just a 1% decline. So we did that. I think we are indicating, but there are realities that we had to deal with. I think we indicated that we had a major strike the year before that cost us a lot of money. And what we then saw for most of our bulk mailers was a migration, a very push towards electronic mail that they're going to sit down and look at. What are the activities that we have put in place to be able to deal with it? In our mail business, the introduction first was a digital business, which has been residing within that mail business. We decided to put it out so that we can focus on it and growing our mail business. In the 2 years that we have run, we have seen a growth of our digital business by about 40%, where we've managed to start now getting customers on board, and we're hoping that we'll keep on growing that. However, the transition into digital business is that the cost for digital business is so minute compared to the normal letter, because electronically what you put in reduces the cost. And I just want to indicate to members that, in fact, the diversification also comes with the issues of affordability of our service going forward, because it will reduce the cost of doing business as we continue going forward. So that is just the one business, but how the digital business. Within the current business that we also have, we've looked at those business programs that we probably were not focusing on as much as we should. For example, we indicated our boxes, we've indicated our growth within our direct mail, we've indicated the issues around how we are going to call what we call the postal financial services, which is our motor vehicle licenses. We started a program about 3 years ago, and we are seeing growth within our motor vehicle licenses. I see FO has indicated earlier on that, in fact, that business is almost the size of the Post Bank in terms of the profit as we have now, and we hope that it will continue growing. Those are not just the programs that we have. The issue of fixed costs that you have indicated too is a major issue that we have to deal with. Our infrastructure is an issue that we have to go through with. For example, we started now the issues of rationalization, and even in terms of property investment, we are now looking at the fact that what happens in the future if this is no longer available. And we are starting to review that and saying, how do we then invest in the right way that is going to be able to grow our business? In terms of our staff, the chair had indicated that we've had a major problem of inequality that as an organization we are obliged to deal with. Therefore, in the passing year, we had to ensure that we normalize the situation for us to be able to continue going further for the issues that we have. We believe that with what we have done, it may not address 100%, but it has addressed the 80% that we needed to deal with, and we'll continue dealing with it then going forward. As we indicated on our slide, we're saying what is the affordability issue and what other programs do we have to deal with. The second cost that we have after that is transport. Fuel is totally out of our hands in terms of what it comes out to at any one point in time. And hence, within our digital business, the expansion of our central decentralized printing, which is our hybrid mail, to start reducing costs. But secondly, the consolidation of the transport across our subsidiaries and the support group is going to be able to do that. We have seen that in the past 2 years within our service, our logistics business, especially within our CFU, we have managed to reduce our costs by starting to consolidate routes, consolidate the issues of vehicles, and consolidate those issues. So there are cost reduction programs that we are going to ensure that we implement to reduce the impact of the growth going forward. And I think the CFO will add on some of the things that we need to deal with. I'm going to ask my colleagues to assist me in some of the issues that we have, but just one question that I'm going to take. I think the head of mail business will deal with the issues that we have been raised about the address expansion and the other issues and the mail volume issues in relation to that. Then the COO and the CFO will deal with the finance issue. For our reduction in mail volumes in terms of time frames and some of the programs that we have put in, the part of the digital business is currently being implemented. Our transport consolidation program is underway. We are currently having a study, and we are developing the issues of how we consolidate. As we go through, and the MD of CFG can also assist me on this one, we have started consolidating routes, and it's going to continue. We are hoping that in the next coming 2 years, the issues around our infrastructure, our transport consolidation will be concluded. In terms of the costs that are related to that, we have in fact built a logistics business case in terms of the integration and of fleet services and CFG as the initial a phase of what we're doing. We have indicated the cost of the integration and the benefit for the organization going forward. And I do not have the numbers, but I'm hopeful that we can be able to get through and we can share with the portfolio committee some of those numbers as we continue with those. And I believe that we have. May I also take this opportunity through the chairperson of the board to really thank the honourable member, because I think without her, some of the issues that we have managed to get and the support that we've gotten from the community has been phenomenal in the Bapalani issues, and we're hoping that within due course the issues will be going through. Chairperson, before I move on, I do need also to indicate that after the last meeting that we had with the committee, there were issues that the committee had raised, and we will leave a handout for that. Some of those have been addressed in the presentation. There is only one issue where the members had asked us to give them a list of all the post offices, and we have those for handouts in terms of where they are in the municipalities and others that we will leave for the members for today. Thank you very much. Can I then ask that the COO, can you deal with the virtual post office and Jan Ross, the mail issues, and Nick, some of the financial issues left?
Thank you, CEO. Honourable member, in respect to the question related to the virtual post office, have we started the process or is it still a plan? The philately online that you saw earlier is already in production, and members of the public can access that online. The virtual post office is in production. However, we've gone with a very small launch at this point in time because this is quite new to us, and the range of services offered there are quite limited at this point in time. We want to make sure specifically that when customers use those services, it is secure, it is safe, and that is why we are taking it very slowly. Specifically in relation to the question, will a pensioner be able to check if the pension is in? If the Honourable Member will just bear with me, pensioners and grant recipients are paid through the Post Bank, and consequently in terms of our multi-channel strategy, we will be expanding the number of channels that our customers can use to access whether funds are in the account, and an online presence at some point in time will be there as well. But the bulk of our customers do not have easy access to online. So consequently, we are looking at channels such as agents as well as mobile banking, and at a point in time, those channels will enable pensioners to check whether the money has gone into the account before they make a journey into their nearest post office or post bank. Can bills be paid through the virtual post office? That facility is there. And as we expand the number of payments that can be made, the number of vendors, if you want to put it that way, that can be paid through the VPO will increase. The biggest concern for us, as the Honourable Member has highlighted, is to ensure that our customers have protection. And that is why we subscribe to the various regulatory requirements around the area, and we are ensuring that as we roll this out, we have the technology and we have the systems to ensure that our consumers are protected when they make use of those services. Honourable Member, I hope that largely answers the question that you had.
Well, in as far as the addresses round out, the target is 1.6 million per annum. But maybe just giving a little bit of history. We started with a rollout of addresses in 1999, and the target over 3 years was to roll out 4.1 million addresses, and we managed to roll out 4.3 million, and 67% thereof were in the rural areas. And the next program, which started in 2005, we were supposed to roll out 4.9 million addresses over 3 years, and we managed to roll out 5.7 million, and 64% thereof were in the rural areas. So we are now busy with the last 3 years, which hopefully is also going to bring us to the 4.9 million addresses target. And we are hopeful that the focus is more in the rural areas, and it will be about 60% in terms of addresses rolled out in the rural areas. Thank you.
Chair, just to cover a couple of the questions, I think Honourable Member's observation of the pressure that declining mail volumes is going to have the business is absolutely true. There's some areas of the business where we will invest, Postbank being one of the examples, the non-Postbank financial services another one. There are other areas of the business where we will have structural issues and where we will need to look at automating and streamlining and reducing costs. And that is in the mail business. We've mentioned the postal code, completely revamping the postal code system, which will greatly reduce our costs and improve efficiencies in that area. We're looking at post box growth, etc. But I think that structurally we will need to be looking at areas of improving efficiencies in the mail business while investing in those businesses where we see growth. And that is what we will do. Also, I did mention that we will, of necessity, have to cut back on our capital expenditure into the event that we do not see a renewal of the subsidy. It will not be possible for us financially to support the USO costs of the organizations to the extent that we currently do. So that will be another area of pressure. But I think they're all on the radar, and we will certainly make sure we manage the business in line with the revenue reductions in the mail business. Then just to talk to the post-retirement medical aid liability, this is as a result of people that retire, our pensioners, up until 2002. I think we reached a settlement with the CWU in, I think, 2002-2003, where when people retired, the post office would subsidize their medical aid contributions, the contributions to the medical aid scheme. We have an in-house medical aid called Medipos, and the post office subsidized those costs. After 2003, nobody gets the benefit anymore. So anyone retiring after that time does not get the benefit of that. But there is a residual element of pensioners who are entitled to that. And what's happened is medical inflation has increased higher than the mortality rate amongst our pensioners, which means that the liability, despite the fact we've ring-fenced it, has still gone up. But we, as I did say, we do have a team which is looking at ways of actually reducing it, either through some form of we do have assets ring-fenced to manage that liability, and we're looking at ways of creating that. And I know currently the forecast for the new financial year is that cost, which is costing us, I think, $300 million this year from a bottom-line performance, will halve next year. So we'll only have to raise about $150 million. So it is coming down, but it is one of the remaining areas of our balance sheet that needs some focus.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to come back just to the investment in the human capital of the South African Post Office. Chairperson, since it is one of the values of SAPO that we recognize and we reward individual contributions, I just wanted to ask, if I look at your report on page 19, performance management, and I look at the investment in training, which is 1%. There were years where there was no real provision, or it was maybe negligible, less than 1%. Is that not also one of the elements that requires urgent attention? The reason being, if SAPO is competing with other players in the market, it would be advisable to have performance-related bonuses, etc., for people who are performing beyond what is required in terms of their key performance indicators. When do you intend to introduce that, and would you perhaps have a program to actually explain to staff that it's actually to their own advantage, you know, that they must be evaluated with performance-related incentives to perform better? What is the current position, and how do you see that unfolding? Because I am acutely aware of what the chairperson has said and what the CEO has said, and that is namely that you're busy with the change management phase. You have to make sure that people feel comfortable, but at the next phase you also have to upskill and uplift and help build the individuals who are there. How do we achieve that if we do not also give them incentives to work for? Thank you.
You can answer.
Thank you so much. I think I'll answer this, and if I miss anything, the CEO will cover me. I just want to highlight that this has been a journey. It's been a journey because we always start with a slide when we present here, which shows the times when we're making losses and the turnaround time when we started making profit. And what was interesting for us was the fact that
you know, at that point, I mean, like Jan Ras was showing that address rollout started in 1999 and we continued from 2005. What happened around 2006, 2007 was a recognition that, you know, in terms of the KTEX, particularly some of the areas as part of our mandate for rollout of addresses, but also in terms of retail rollout, we were, you know, behind. So the focus was to look at how do we strategically upgrading our IT and also focusing on the retail rollout. What do we do in making sure that we contribute the profits of the company to that, to make sure that the backlog is covered? And that included the stuff in terms of the anomalies. So we realized that if we don't deal with these, I mean, it's going to even affect, it was affecting the stability of the company and also in terms of our license, our compliance issues. And a lot of, I mean, what we've achieved, even though, and this is the slide that I only like them to show, that, you know, with the net profit reduction, that we have managed to continue to ensure that our social mandate is not compromised and we continue in terms of that. You're right. That is a plus, but that is a challenge also going forward, particularly from a subsidy, reduction at this point. It's very interesting all over the world. I mean, we've attended meetings, with international meetings, and everybody's cutting, you know, branches. And they all think we are crazy. When everybody's cutting branches, we're busy expanding. And in a very difficult time, we know it's even here at home, the SMBs and the net banks are closing branches. So when we're coming in and they're expanding, when everybody else is closing, you are in a very dangerous zone. And we are not taking that lightly. We actually have realized that, and we are looking at various ways of dealing with that. And we have taken an approach of very strong and strict approach in terms of investment strategy. And as we speak, I mean, our teams go around even with the investment managers to actually look at our portfolio, how is it managed. And, that approach has assisted us even during the difficult times when, you know, worldwide, when the crisis started as a financial crisis in 2008-09, we acted very speedily in terms of ensuring that our exposure is, particularly in terms of foreign investment, was managed very quickly for us to invest in the right places at the right time. So I think that, broadly speaking, from that perspective, we are comfortable but we are concerned, you know, in terms of how we manage. In the investment in human capital, you know, when you're talking about the bonuses, I'm sure, I mean, I was just thinking at the back, I don't want to see those faces, they're saying, yeah, why, you know, because we were in trouble last year, we didn't pay bonuses. And people were not happy, obviously, across the organization. But it was all being, part, we were all agreeing in terms of the challenges that we're facing and also the priorities. And those priorities were basically about ensuring equity across, to sort of say, let's together walk the route. Let's, I mean, make sure that, you know, the people that have been, you know, affected through inequity are now being addressed properly. And let us also agree that, I mean, we did increase salaries, but the issue was around the bonuses. But what we did was to do a very focused benchmark in terms of generally what mechanisms of reward and incentives are out there and where do we sit, I mean, from a post office perspective. We're quite amazed, actually, that particularly in terms of the branch tellers and the other stuff, we're not doing badly. In some cases, we're doing much better than the banks, in most cases, actually. Even the payment, so basically the situation was not that bad. The issue was, but, I mean, what we're doing now, what it did was focus us in terms of areas where there are gaps, but also the new strategy that we're coming up with in terms of rewards and incentives is beginning now to look at, you know, the performance very focused and also in terms of ensuring that when we don't pay bonuses, it's not just the board didn't pay the bonuses. Everybody understands that we didn't perform and meet the targets in the way that we wanted to. and it's an understandable thing in terms of how we deal with that. Part of it is linked to the communication. So yes, I mean, that forms a key strategy in terms of our rewards and investment in human capital. The issue of, I'd like the CEO to talk to the issue of training and development, because that remains a concern for us as well. But I mean, the figure of 1%, 2%, you know, is I'll let her talk to that, because we always have a big argument about it. But, I mean, in terms of the monitoring of that from our side, we're very comfortable with the programming that has taken, particularly in a more decentralized way that is beginning to offer us this kind of results, particularly at the time of preparing for the post-bank. Concern, however, is that the post-bank teller is so empowered that the banks would like to grab that person because they engage in many transactions and, you know, so they usually. So it's a critical issue of retention as well. It's not just at the high level of executives. It's also at that level as well. So, yeah, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think this is the biggest challenge we have. But as, just to indicate some of the activities that we then got into last year, besides the ones that we have, the Chair has indicated that there was a benchmark, but in fact we then developed a remuneration strategy that looks at the basic salary and the variable pay, and all of that between two things, team and individual pay, because in some cases we work as a team. So an individual recognition becomes a very difficult one to sit down and deal with. So that is the issues that we have. When we were developing this issue, there was consultation with the union, and we need to be able to continue doing that, and we are hoping to implement it as we go through. The review not only did look at the pay, it looked at the job grading and the job profiling for us to be able to ensure that we can be able to align properly with the emerging issues of the post-bank corporatization, the logistics and others to make sure that we deal with. And it is also going to introduce the issues of fines for us to go through for that, and we are hoping that it will deal with it. From the issue of reward and recognition, because we also believe that it is not only just about the remuneration, it is around the recognition that happens. And we started several programs that we had and focusing mostly on our consumer services branches, the first pilot, and we are moving on to the others, where we started what we call a rewarded recognition, where we have best performing post offices that are rated by customers, and through the issues that we then recognize that and they are received on a quarterly basis and the issue that we deal with. And included in that would be team and individual recognition that goes through. For our training spend, the 1% that we in fact put is very small compared to what we need to do, and ideally we would like to be able to be sitting at 2%. But I think we also are very happy that the relationship that we have with our CETA has enabled us to, in fact, get the funding from the CETA issues that will then augment part of the 1% that we have that we are dealing with from that perspective. And it is a program that I think is a program that encourages, because through that program we have managed to train more people and, in fact, introduce new learnerships, even from on learnerships that we then, if you are looking, for example, within the IT space, we can get learnerships and really develop people around those programs that we are looking at. We still want to be able to get to the 2% of total spend that we have to be able to do that. We, however, need to be able to manage that, because when you do the pre-training programs, you essentially, if you take the consumer services as an example, need to have a person 2 to 3 weeks out of the job for the year to be able to get to the level that we need to deal with. And that brings the issues of how you make sure that we go through that. When you spoke about the labor model, it was in fact to say, how do we ensure that minimum 3 weeks a person goes out to be able to do that, so that we can get the skill level that quite required. So it's around the training, it's around the programs, it's around how we deal with our issues of operations and how we make sure that we can go through that. Our history has not been good, as the Chair has indicated, in terms of training. And I think the 1% that we've reached now is a milestone. And we are hoping that we can be able to get to the 2% as we do. I do need to talk about the executives and the higher leadership, because most of the time when we look at our programs, we always look at programs below, and we need to also develop people at a high level. And I just wanted to share one of the things that probably I ran very quickly through as we go through that. Part of this, what we have done is, in fact, couched our training within what we call our training program that goes with the me, work, and world. You know, what is it that I require for me to develop as a better person to be able to do that? Because when you offer services to people, if I'm not a happy person, it translates in what I do. So those are the issues that we deal with. Then we get into work. How do we work together? And how do we influence the world? How do we influence the community? How do we do that? I spoke about the employee volunteerism. We have that program. We have what we call the War for Talent, which is what we did. We just finished what we call a develop management board. We have introduced what we call a personal mastery, where people are looking at themselves. And I think one of the things that we started last year was the issue of induction. You know, we say when people come into the organization, you induct them into the values of the organization has. But with our induction program, what we in fact did is also introduce the current employees to embrace the values, because we have to be refreshed all the time in terms of the issues that we deal with. And I think it's some of the programs. So that sort of encompasses our training programs. And it then deals with, we indicate in some of those things that we do with employees and everybody else for our side to go through with. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you for the response. But I just want to check something, because my understanding is that we are doing all these things which we are doing because we want to fulfill the mandate of the 1998 white paper. So all what you are doing is in that context, that framework. That's what we are trying to achieve and so on. But there is one thing which I just want to request. It might not be available now. Whether it's possible for yourself to go through the white paper and make some audit. How far have we implemented the white paper? Where are we still lacking? Because you see, we don't want just to shoot in the dark and keep on having strategic plan coming and planning, but we don't know what dent are we making to the white paper as it was said in 1998. How far are we and what is remaining to achieve? I'm raising that because I thought that the question is whether the white paper is still relevant today as it was relevant then. But we cannot reach that answer if we don't know how far did we go and where we didn't do anything, what are the challenges, what is it which we need to look into to change moving forward in the white paper, so that we develop such a process of engaging and moving forward in the policy direction to change things and so on. That's why I'm raising that broader issue, that if it's possible that some audit can be conducted so that as you'll be coming and present your labor issues, you are also given an opportunity to have a broader understanding how far have we gone to implement the white paper and so on. I would think that will also cover some of the issues which has been individually raised and the other things. The second one is around the universal service obligation. Now, I hear you talking about the grant, but when will post office reach a point where it's going to fund the universal service obligation on its own? Because it was not a permanent arrangement. You were given a grant for a certain period with the hope that will be self-sufficient and start to make profit and then fund that universal obligation out of your pocket. Now, I'll be very reluctant just to agree with the extension of a grant without knowing that what exactly are you doing or why you could not make profit or start to make profit which is going to fund the grant. Because this government is not the holy cow that just milk and get money. So I think it should have come to an end at one point. And if that point is now, it will be now, but we must then ask the question, how do you take forward the universal service obligation as required that you must do? The issue of government grant to continue is one, but I don't think it's a matter which the key question is in your assessment, when are you breaking even to make sure that you fund the universal service obligation on your own as post office? Is this strategy which you are presenting today take us to that direction? So
that we are clear, even if we say government, but we are clear that for how long and when are you taking over that responsibility. It can't be government all the way. That's not right. And it was not the spirit at the beginning, actually. It was that for certain, then you take over, you run. So when are you ready to run that universal service obligation so that we understand whether we, if as a committee we support the extension of the grant, but I think we must be clear on what requirements, what will be the term of reference of that extension of a grant. It can't be just an open-ended thing and so on. I think that's one issue which I just wanted to raise. The last one is that the one which I raised, the review of the white paper vis-à-vis how far to be implemented that and so on. But the one issue which I've just also picked up was that you see, maybe at one point, maybe something the committee must do ourselves. But to understand the industry we are operating in. So that we sometimes when you make this decision, you should be understanding the environment you are operating in. To what extent is the commercial or the private participating, and where are you in that space? Whether in the competition side, not necessarily on the other side, where you are fulfilling the government responsibility. Well, I'm not talking about the grants because I'm not mindful that we are fulfilling our RTP, one of the key RTP objectives in terms of this grant. It's just that we thought we'll get it nice moving forward when we started to make profit. We didn't anticipate that that objective might cost us this far. So on. But I'm just trying to say, probably at one point, it could be just to give us the entire outlook of the sector we are operating, the environment. Because I'm raising that because at one point, we are talking about venturing on the ICT, as you move forward, because it takes that to do that. It's not necessary that you just want to do that for the sake of doing that. It's because things are evolving. But immediately you do that, maybe you'll come back to say, what then? Because I still want to understand your footprint in terms of connectivity for your post office. What is the in-country layout? Where are you in the country in terms of your connectivity? I'm raising this issue because what then becomes the main objective? How do you come into play for the main objective of government of connectivity of rural areas? If you've got a network, but how then do you come in the broader picture of government trying to connect the rural areas and so on in that broader context? But you won't be able to do that if you don't know your footprint of connectivity. I'm saying as a committee from where we are to deal with the broader issues, we won't be able to do that. So we need to understand your footprint. I was satisfied about the question of rollout of addresses because that's what I was going to ask. Because historical post office was more of the privilege under that government and so on. When you go to the former homelands and the outskirts areas, it was very rare to find the infrastructure for post office. But I still love to say the 64% and so on to come in a sort of in a layout. Where are you in the country exactly? So that we can see in the country where you are. Where do you intend to take it forward? When does the country become green, all of it? Where the address has been rolled out all over, or red, or green, or yellow, whatever color you choose. But even the footprint, so that we understand that are we making progress or not, but we don't duplicate government, especially DOC, in making policies and reshape its policies, understand what could be your capability in terms of assisting, in terms of rollout and connectivity, besides the other initiatives which are taken on the side. But for us to complete the puzzle, we need all these little pieces so that we are able to assist around. I think those might not be the questions, some of the issues, but it's the issue of seeking broader information and understand you. I think our intention now is not to interact with you during the strategic plan and the annual report presentation. We need an actual contact on day-to-day which seeks to achieve our objective. Firstly, as government, our government wants to go and do our oversight first, whether government is moving to the correct direction. Are you playing your part in order for us to achieve the main objective and so on? So if we might have more interaction, just that we've got the elections coming in. If it was not that, I was going to tell you that we're not going to have less than 6 interaction with you, because we want to understand what they are doing exactly and so on, whether we still need some of the things moving forward. But they will interact in terms of how to engage and so on, so that we understand. Those are the issues. But lastly, around that is that we are undergoing an oversight as a committee. One of the areas we'll visit is in Ngwavuma. We might want to see what is your presence in that area, part of the country. So that we understand. So, but the committee section will keep in touch with some of yours if we can be provided the responsible person to talk to. So that when we're in that part of the country, we're able to see what post office is doing around there. I think those are the issues that I wanted to raise, because in the main, your questions and your presentation was clear to a certain extent, except that it does not break the broader policy issues, whether we're making inroad or whatnot and so on. That's why I'm raising this question. You don't have to respond now to some of those questions, except that we need to commit in a process. When to start to have those things and so on. That will come even into your amendments, which you might propose. We want the amendments which are going to talk to a broader objective of the white paper. We don't want these piecemeal amendments which tell us that you change CEO to CEO or CFO, which we have seen coming some other time, which are more administrative, does not address more policy objective issues and so on. No, that's all I wanted to raise. We don't have to respond on the issues, except that we need to commit in a process moving forward, how do we deal with those issues and so on, so that we are also empowered as a committee to engage you vigorously moving forward and so on. Chairperson?
Yeah, I think you're right when you say we don't have to engage in them now, but I think you've raised the most one of the most important questions. We just had an engagement, a bilateral, between ourselves and the shareholder recently, and those were some of the issues that were raised. The broader vision of the sector and also the strategic direction in terms of what guides, you know, even the post office license and also our existence. And that has implications as well in terms of the postal Act. So we've agreed, with the shareholder that there will be a specific focus on that, and we'll be having, unfortunately, the DDG who's dealing with policy was also in that meeting, and we do know that between ourselves and the shareholder, that is the area of reviewing the white paper and also the Act and looking at where do we go. So we'll be ready. Hopefully. What we need to do now is to align our time frames between the portfolio committee and the shareholder engagement with us in terms of having a very clear approach in dealing with this. For us, it's very, very, very critical. And I would like to just say in closing that what you're seeing in front of you is the strategy being presented has taken into consideration the issue of the subsidy. We understand it's not something forever, and basically every time in our plans, we always emphasize that our financial results, when we talk profitability, we exclude the subsidy. It's not part of that. We report separately as far as the subsidy is concerned. But we also want to highlight that when it comes to the USO, the responsibilities that we have, unfortunately, our world is not a very ideal world. When we go out there as the post office for retail rollout and address rollout, we're having to even invest in infrastructure,
I mean, you get to places that don't have roads, don't have electricity, don't have broadband, something that shouldn't be coming out of our own budget. But unfortunately, it does. We're having to invest in such infrastructure. So that sort of complicates, and a lot of that comes out of the post office money. And it's okay. I mean, we're a public company, state-owned, and it is, we understand that. But, I mean, some of those are totally outside. You know, those are areas that are assumed will be there but are not, and we are having to pay for them. And that is why our plea is basically in terms of the backlog that is basically representative of the country, where it's not just normal business from a USO perspective. So we are appealed, I mean, in terms of that regard. But generally, we are very forward-looking, and we've already worked out the sums, and we've come up with proposals which we've presented in terms of how to look at it going forward. We're very comfortable in our next meeting to share all of that, also as we deal with the shareholder in terms of that vision, that broader vision and the review of the white paper. Thanks.
Thanks very much. We will take the matter forward so that we understand you better, not in a high level understanding and so on. Members, that will conclude the business of the day. Thanks very much, Chair, and your team, and everyone who's here. Thank you.